the Chair by Mark Taverner, starring Michael Williams, Barry Foster and Hugh Laurie.
The pathologist says it's all right to move the bodyguard.
All right, you know what to do. In the way as usual, George.
Yeah, come on, Frank. Seems like to do these things from the scene. Mind you, this one might put people off their breakfast. Yeah. Richard, it's George. I've got a piece for the 8 o'clock.
Excuse me, sir. Can we just get through?
Ready, George. In 3, 2, 1.
I'm speaking to you from the headquarters of the People's Commission Against Sleaze, where last night the so-called Sleaze Sultan, Lord McEwen's, was murdered. He was hosting a party to celebrate the official opening of the commission.
Can we just shift the body, sir?
Police have confirmed that the murder weapon was a priceless antique poker. They've refused to give further details, but there's no doubt. This is the work of the serial killer. Police have now been hunting for 6 weeks. With me here at the scene is the investigating officer, Commander Frank Jefferson.
I'm not a commander.
Commander, what sort of people were at this party?
Well, our information is... Our information is that there were people here from politics, the arts, and show jumping.
What?
Show business, for God's sake, George. Pop stars, footballers, you know, 57 varieties of git. Has that been dusted for prints?
No, sir.
Well, get your paws off it, then.
Commander, one last question. Do you think the killer may be one of the celebrity guests?
I can't comment on that at this stage.
This is George Cragg for BBC Radio News.
George, you know perfectly well I'm not a commander.
It's only a matter of time, Frank. Talent like yours is bound to rise to the top eventually.
Well, not if we don't crack this one. And then the minute I walked in and saw he had put down the mic from their seat, I thought, my God, here we go again.
Both are main suspects, were here.
Yeah, they were both on the guest list. Charles Prentice and Marcia Mallon.
As murder. In a statement from Downing Street, the Prime Minister said Lord McEwen's would be missed, above all, for his clarity of mind and intellectual rigour. Now other news. The government has announced the outcome of its competition to find names for the Millennium Kittens being erected on London's South Bank. They're to be called Alistair and Charlie. The winner is a Mr. Mandelson from Hartlepool. The Information Minister, Marcia Mallon, said the kittens stood for new life and new energy. Although the former Deputy Prime Minister, Jim Hardy, said the kittens would remind people of what he called New Labour's flea-ridden incontinence. And now cricket, and in Barbados, England was...
An innings! An innings and 142 runs!
Yes, Chairman. Shall I get you a nice cup of tea?
A nice cup of tea at a time like this? When England are losing... have a scotch.
Yes, Chairman. The governors are waiting for you in the boardroom.
Ah, stuff we don't know there. The shame. The humiliation.
Chairman, I think it's almost time for Max Parker. Should I turn the radio on?
Max, my old friend.
And the resignation of England's cricket captain, Michael Atherton. With his thoughts, here's Max Parker.
England have done what England do best and lost. There are those who talk of shame and humiliation.
There will.
It may be that a 5-year-old child with his legs tied together would have bowled better than Andy Caddick. It may be that England's batting would have disgraced a village 11 after a good lunch.
I know.
But you know, when all said and done, we lost a test match, not a war. It's only cricket. Here in Antigua, they party when they win and party when they lose. I think there's a lesson there for all of us. For the last time, this is Max Parker from the West Indies.
Charles, it's the monthly bi-media strategy review. It's your duty to attend.
Not now that the chairman is relying on me to resist the enemies of the BBC in Downing Street.
But you miss my mission statement. Listen. Yes. We in bi-media development are the shock troops of Cool Britannia. Let's kick some ass and surf some zeitgeist.
Martin, are you feeling altogether well?
Oh, you wouldn't advise it?
I would advise anyone who came out with a line like that to go and lie down in a darkened room for at least 18 months.
Well, of course, if I had you there to support me...
I have preparations to make and a destiny to fulfill.
Yes, I'm rather worried about chaps with a destiny to fulfill. To my mind, there's nothing more dangerous than the sort of loony tunes who expect two puffs of white smoke every time he sees a chimney.
The doctrines of mediocrity is everywhere.
Yes, and don't tell me, when the chairman hands you the mantle, there'll be no place in your BBC for time service. There's mediocrity.
On the contrary, Martin. Like every director general before me, I shall surround myself with time servers and mediocrities. One's back is so much safer that way.
Well, go on, then, Frank. Spill it, Beans. What's happened?
We've received another message addressed to me personally at Scotland Yard.
Hey, that is first, shall be last.
It's the first time he's contacted us in advance. What do you reckon?
He that is first, shall be last. Good news is, I think he's saying, or she, of course, that this is the last murder.
So who's the victim?
Robert Foggy's.
What fools we're going to look, George. Supposing he gets away with it, sends us another note saying, it's all right, I'll stop now, thank you and good night.
George!
Parker is the West Indian.
Home, dear boy, home from the war.
Not much, you haven't been anywhere.
I know that, and you know that, but the listeners don't.
Neither does the chairman. He's invited me to tea.
I understand he knows his cricket, actually, Max.
You think I ought to burn up on the test, dearie?
You better do a bit more than that, Max, my old mate, if you're supposed to be home from the West Indies.
Should I give the chairman a present, dearie?
After 3 months in the Caribbean, what you should bring him is a suntan.
Ah, God, that's a point. You're as pale as I am.
I'm sunk.
Oh, come on, Max, even your journalistic expertise should stretch to going through yellow pages. Look at saunas and solariums. I should get a move on if I were you.
Just what I was about to suggest myself. Saunas and solariums.
You're very sharp today, Frank.
For somebody who's let a serial killer run riot for weeks on end, you mean?
Oh, come on, don't give up. Let's put our heads together.
Yeah.
He that is first.
Oh, Marcia, come in. I've done a press release. I'd like you to have a look at it.
Oh, I thought press releases were my job.
Well, we'll talk about your job in a moment. See what you think.
Prime Minister has announced a cut of 50% in the number of press officers and so-called spin doctors in Whitehall. This would represent a significant saving to the public purse at a time when some were accusing ministers of extravagance.
That should lay that one to rest. Go on.
Prime Minister was also very concerned by the charge that he is leading a government of control freaks. He said he was anxious to demonstrate that this is a listening, caring government. It was not trying to muzzle the BBC or stifle backbench debate.
What do you think?
Press advisers are my department. So are relations with the BBC. Obviously, you're free to do as you decide.
Yes, I am.
But surely I might have been consulted. This is my responsibility.
Well, actually, I think the time is about right to talk about your responsibilities. I shall be making this public for a while, but I'm going to be making some changes.
The reshuffle? Oh, I see. Naturally, Kenny, Prime Minister, I'll be happy to serve you in whatever capacity you see fit. In health, in education...
In Wales.
What?
Secretary of State for Wales.
Is this a joke? I mean, the Secretary of State for Wales is a sort of impotent, far-flung irrelevance, and that's before they get their own assembly.
On a strict reading of the evidence, yes.
What have I done wrong?
Oh, it's not a question of wrong, exactly. It's a question of... Oh, how should I put this? Mood music. You see, there's a degree of unrest on the back benches.
I've been trying to tell you that.
And don't think I haven't been listening. Don't ever think I'm not listening. You see, I think there's an awful lot to be said for a bit of quiet diplomacy. I'm sending people messages on their pages 24 hours a day, vote this way, ask this question. It antagonizes people unnecessarily. I want to send a signal to the party that things are going to be different. Sadly, you are that signal.
So I'm being punished to bolster your image on the backbenches.
Punished is such a dramatic word, don't you think? I want to show the backbenches I'm one of them. Drink a few pints, eat a few pies. Show them I know my mushy peas from my avocado mousse, if you take my meaning.
I spent 15 years of my life creating New Labour.
That is rather the sort of hubris I've been trying to get away from.
There's not a word in your mouth or an idea in your head that I didn't put there.
You didn't put this one there, did you?
I take it I have no alternative.
You have an alternative, of course, but I would be very sorry to see you leave the government.
The Prime Minister agreed to this personally.
Well, actually, he said he'd never really wanted all this investigation into the BBC in the first place.
Mm.
Said it was all Marcia Mallon's idea.
Well, we all knew that.
Anyway, I managed to persuade him that if he drops this inquiry into BBC bias, we'll drop our threats to publicise bullying of journalists by Labour spin doctors, and we'll hold our own internal review to make sure our standards are being maintained, which, as it happens, they are.
Caroline, you're a genius.
I know you like Charles Prentice's idea of fighting fire with fire, so to speak, but it just seemed a bit silly to antagonise people unnecessarily.
Mm. You think?
Well, actually, Chairman, I think I ought to be getting back to the newsroom, but I just thought you'd like to know.
Excellent work. Excellent.
Prime Minister has let it be known that he is much impressed by the qualities of Caroline Holland. And there are licence fee negotiations pending. Quite. Charles.
Give it up. I mean, look at me. Go on, look at me. What do you see?
I see a man who is somehow indefinably small. Mentally, physically, pervasively small.
You see a happy man.
Self-satisfied man.
A contented man.
A smug, self-satisfied, small man.
Shall I tell you my philosophy?
No.
My philosophy is, DGs have come and DGs have gone.
Is that Wittgenstein or Bertrand Russell?
But I've survived them all. I've got my salary, my pension, my house in Surrey, my golf, my goldfish, and my collection of wrestling memorabilia.
And the blissful state of total indifference to your own total indifference.
Give it up. Retire gracefully to done wheezing.
Not, I think, before one last wheeze.
Well, can I put this another way, Charles? You're fired.
Maria, where's that coffee?
That's my piece for the bulletin. I'll do an update if anything comes up at Scotland Yard.
Okay, thanks, George.
Max, what the hell happened to you?
Oh, God.
What happened?
I've had the full treatment.
We found the sauna.
Found it. I've had the deluxe executive service. I had an all-over massage from a two-ton lunatic.
That was fun.
George, I assure you, it was the least erotic experience of my entire life. And then they had the effrontery to give me a mud bath. Me. And they stuck me in an oven and left me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great suntan.
Suntan? I've just done 3 hours at gas mark 9.
Well, look, go home, put your feet up.
I can't go home. I've got to see the chairman.
I need it now.
But Friday is out of the question.
You did agree to it at the governor's meeting, Chairman.
But this is Aintree weekend. I'm off to the Grand National.
It is the appointment of the Director General, Chairman. All your fellow governors will be here.
They may be. I shall be elsewhere.
But they can't make the appointment without you.
Penny, I'm going to Aintree, and that is that.
Very well, I'll see they're informed. Oh, and there's a message from the newsroom.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, Max Parker sends his apologies. He's missed his flight from Antigua and is still in the West Indies.
Mmm. Lovely. You know, all these years, this is the first time I've ever seen where you live. I never really thought you live in anywhere except the BBC.
Chicken tikka.
Oh.
George Crabstown.
Very nice, too.
Yeah, it takes over your life, the BBC. Mm. Never get away from it.
Mm. Mm. I'll tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of this evening, you don't mention the BBC and I won't mention the yard.
Mm?
We'll just have a nice meal, couple of brandies, and relax.
That's right.
Mm. Mm.
Mm. And all this relaxing is wearing me out.
All right, mate, all right. Look, do you want to talk about the case?
Well, actually, yes, I don't suppose I am.
Well, as it happens, I did bring the case fine with me.
That's what I like to hear.
I'm not finished. No, well.
I'll stick these in a sink.
All right.
Get the files open, Frank. Let's find that cognac.
Can you get me a copy?
And if you could lose about 20 seconds off for that midnight bulletin. And I'm not very happy about that South African piece. Can somebody tidy it up?
All right, all right. Did you ever go home?
I'm just going. I'd like everything to be shipshape, that's all.
All right, I'll see to it.
Right, well, I'll be off then.
Do you interview for DG coming up?
Yep, it's on Saturday.
Saturday?
You haven't heard the best of it. I bumped into the chairman this afternoon. He said, Caroline, my dear, your interview's in the BBC box at Aintree.
What?
His exact words were, choosing a director general is all very well, but it shouldn't interfere with the important things in life. I'm going to the Grand National, and so are you.
What a performer.
I don't have to wear a silly hat, do I?
That's Ascot. Hope he doesn't ask you about horse racing.
I spent the last week boning up on broadcasting in the digital age and senior management in the millennium, and he'll probably say, who do you fancy for the 3 o'clock at Newbury?
Yeah, no, who do you want to be England's cricket captain? He's bound to ask you that.
Richard, sorry to interrupt. This has just come in on PA. We might want to run it at midnight.
Well, you're going to be in good company on Saturday. The Prime Minister's announced he's attending the Grand National. He wants the chance to meet the people, because this is a people's government.
It makes sense, Frank. All these murders have had a new Labour connection. He that is first has got to be the PM.
And your money's still on Marcia?
The word from our parliamentary boys is that there's been a big falling out between Marcia and the PM.
Marcia or Prentice?
I think we can safely assume that whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen soon. The killer doesn't hang about.
Right.
Oh, probably not. And if I tell Caroline, she'll say, don't be so damn silly, George, you're losing your grip.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps you could read those files, could you?
What?
The answer's got to be in here somewhere.
Thank you.
Another of these damn meetings.
There's a new Labour, lad. Anybody caught thinking for themselves in this party will be severely dealt with.
Yeah, now.
By this surgery.
Thank you.
Yeah, but at least your constituency isn't in Scotland.
Thank you. Well, I'm sorry to drag you all here. I know it's the weekend. You're all keen to get off to your constituencies, but there's something I have to say to you. I know some of you are unhappy. You think we haven't talked to you, to the party. You think we haven't listened as much as we should.
Well, that's putting it mildly.
Well, there have been mistakes. They are my fault. I'm sorry. Now, some of you may have heard, I know how news travels in this place, that there are going to be some changes.
Yeah, have you heard? She's got wings.
And a gnashing of teeth.
And things are going to be different. Maybe we have seemed high-handed. Maybe we have sent the odd message too many on your mobiles and pages. Now I want to listen to your concerns about what we're doing.
I warn you not to be poor.
Jim.
I warn you not to be a single parent. I warn you not to be disabled.
Jim, listen. I know we're taking tough measures.
Tory measures?
No. Modern, new Labour measures. And I want you to criticise. I want to listen. But I want you to criticise in a modern way.
What the hell does that mean?
It means come and complain to me before you go and complain on the BBC. That's not so very much to ask, is it? We in the Cabinet need you. But if I may say so, you need us. Just occasionally. You might ask why so many of you won on May the 1st. Of course, modesty forbids. But let's not forget, we won that election as we shall win the next one, as the partnership of new Labour. Thank you for listening to me.
If he's serious about listening, we've got to give him the benefit. For now, anyway.
You're not telling me you're fooled by that public school schmarm.
Well, if they mean it about more consultation, I say give it a try.
Somebody was saying in the tea room, you went to public school, Jim. Is that true?
You don't believe everything you hear, lad. Marcia Mullen, look you.
I don't think I'd gloat if I were you, Jim. How's your own future looking?
He's made fools of both of us.
Yeah, well, some of us aren't finished just yet.
Well, we're only minutes away now from one of the highlights of the sporting calendar. The most gruelling race, the biggest race, and almost the only big sporting event that's still on the BBC. There's an illustrious gathering for this glittering Aintree occasion. The Prime Minister is here, and I understand he's insisted on mingling with the ordinary punters instead of sitting in a hospitality box. I bet that's a nightmare for the security people. I believe the chairman of the BBC is here. Lord Crichton Potter is, of course, a noted cricket lover, but I understand he enjoys the occasional flutter too. Let's hope he picks a winner today.
So, what you're saying is that Alex Stewart has the maturity, but Nelson Hussein has the passion.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Excellent. Plucky, Billy.
But, Chairman, you haven't asked me about the future of public service broadcasting in a multimedia environment.
Haven't I? Well, I don't keep you. You know, that fellow Prentice insisted on talking for half an hour about government-BBC relationships, right through the 2:13 novices' handicap. Dear, oh dear. Now, who's your money on for the big one?
20-1, Jury Lady. 15-1, Devious Charlie.
George, are you sure?
I was up all night, Frank, going through those files. It's about 20-6 this morning, you know what I did? I picked up an old Agatha Christie.
That old sheep?
I just opened it and it had, what's his name, Farrow, saying the murderer is the least obvious person.
It's not like that in real life.
But that's exactly it, Frank. The murderer is not the least obvious person. Our murderer is the most obvious person.
Come on, George, they're off. Prime Minister mingling with the people, George, I ask.
We've got to keep our eyes on him, Frank.
Sorry, sir. Right. Yeah. Keep our eyes on him. Where the hell is he?
He's there. Look. In that crowd there. My God. There's Marcia.
And there's somebody behind the PM.
That's Prince. He's sleeping.
Sorry, sir. Hey, come on, George, you're supposed to be watching the Prime Minister.
There's somebody else I'm expecting to see, Frank. Well, I can't see them yet, huh? There, Frank. There.
Where?
I knew it. I knew it.
Huh?
Come on. Let's get to the PM. Come on, Frank.
Police, out of the way, please. Oh, no. Police. That's it. Hey, George, where the hell are you going?
You'll just get to the PM. I know what I'm doing. Get to the PM.
Get down, Prime Minister! Prime Minister, get down!
It's over, mate. It's all over.
Ah, this is it with regard to this.
Interview with James Bevin Bevan Hardy, 2100 hours, Superintendent Jefferson, WPC Harrison, attendant.
And George Cragg.
Who put you on to me, George?
I sat up all night and I thought to myself, who is the most obvious person? The most obvious person is you. And the murders, the protest against New Labour, it all started to make sense.
You'd have our other job proving it.
Not now we've caught you in the act, we won't.
And you always intended to finish up with the Prime Minister, didn't you?
And you sent us a message about it.
Yeah, couldn't help showing off, could you? And that interested me too. After you'd gone, Frank, last night, I went through those files, including the one about our late DG. He went to a public school, same one as you did, Jim.
You kept that quiet, didn't you?
I read a file of your speeches last night. It's all a contrivance, isn't it? You're not inarticulate. They're calculated, planned down to the last. This is it with regard to this. You're an intensely articulate, intelligent bloke.
I won the English prize 4 years running. I was a scholarship boy, smartest lad in our street. I thought, Jim, you're going to make something of yourself. I got my A-levels and going to be a doctor. Imagine that, George.
Not a spin doctor, presumably.
And my dad got made redundant and the family said, you can forget about being a student for another 7 years. Get a job, lad. You're the breadwinner now. And I had to watch the smarmy, middle-class bastards like your precious director, General Swanning off to Oxford.
When did you join the Labour Party?
I wasn't even out of my teens. I thought, here are people with values. Here are people who care if a dad is redundant, if a kid can't fulfill his potential. And then I watched the miners losing their jobs and the Labour Party said nothing. And I watched unemployment going up and up. And they said to me, Jim, the people at the bottom, they don't bother voting.
That was a motive for murder?
You don't understand. It was my life they were insulting. Bugger the working class, as long as the smooth, smart, middle-class kids get their jobs in Downing Street and Whitehall. Oh, come on, George. You know what I'm saying. What's happening at the BBC? Never mind the values. Let's employ some more accountants.
I don't actually go around killing people, Jim.
They've made fools of us, George. Fools of us. And our time.
That's not an excuse for murder, Jim. Not even for murdering a Director General.
Oh, I didn't murder the Director General.
What?
Oh, no. The other ones, yeah. But your Director General. Somebody else must have had that privilege.
Tonight's headlines again. The Labour politician Jim Hardy has been charged on a number of counts of murder. The Prime Minister has praised what he called the People's Police for a new modern arrest. The chairman of the BBC, Lord Crichton Potter, has announced that the new Director General is to be Lord Crichton Potter. His Lordship said he had interviewed all the candidates and had appointed himself with immediate effect. BBC Radio 4 News.
Oh, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, eh, Caroline?
Well, actually, George, I'm...
Hello, my dear.
Oh, congratulations, DG.
You know, it's funny how sometimes the best candidate emerges at the last moment, almost from nowhere.
Yes, DG.
I think a little of this might be in order, don't you? Now, George, in my new executive capacity, can I just confirm this suggestion you might be leaving? Not true, is it, old boy?
Let me put it this way, DG. Yeah. My old friend Lord Denning once said to me, George, he said, I have every Christian virtue save that of resignation.
Maria.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Oh,
I'll take a bow for my new constitution. Say hello to my new revolution. Smile and grin at the changes all around. Pick up my guitar and play, just like yesterday. Better get on your knees and pray. You don't get fooled again.
Chair was written by Mark Taverner and starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Hugh Laurie, Stephen Fry, John Bird, Richard Griffiths, Rebecca Front, and Kenneth Cranham. And also featured Susie Brand, Peter Woodcock, Simon Greenall, Darren Boyd, Brian Parr, Henrietta Garden, Dave Lamb, and Harriet Katz. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. The editor was Rex Brough. The broadcast assistant, Dawn Ellis. In the Chair was produced by Paul Schlesinger